you were young, did you ever fancy a life on the stage or delight in drama classes at school? I know I did. Although I was quite shy, but drama seemed to kind of open up a seam in me, and perhaps that's why I'm here now. Some turn that dream into a lifelong love, and 50 years ago this year, in 1963, the Australian Theatre for Young People, or ATYP, was born. It's put on almost 100 productions since, and tens of thousands of young people have been through its workshop doors. The list of their theatrical alumni are seriously impressive, I have to say. Nicole Kidman, Baz Luhrmann, Michael Gow, I think it is, yes. Rose Byrne, Rebel Wilson, Aidan Young, the list goes on, and countless others, and we're reflecting on that incredible history this morning. I'm thrilled to be joined by Wendy Blacklock, who was a founding member back in 1963, went on to have an acting career herself on the stage and TV here and in England. And in passing, I have to mention that she was Edie, or Mummy, from the classic Number 96. We're not talking about that today. Shakes her head. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you here. And we are also joined by Rosie Fisher, who started workshops at sweet age of 10 and spent 20 years as a student and then a tutor with the theatre. She's currently Performance Program Manager, a coordinator at Carriage Works in Sydney. Thanks, Rosie.
Hi.
Wendy, take us back to the beginning. When did the relationship start with ATYP?
Well, there was a group of actors working here in Sydney who had young families, and we were very disappointed in the quality of the theatrical performances that were available for our children. And somebody had the bright idea of getting together and setting up a company where we could give them some what we considered interesting shows and also Australian shows. And in this group, there were some very well-known at that time radio actors, because there was a lot of radio in those days, had beautiful voices, people like Nigel Lovell, who started touring the schools with Henry Lawson poetry.
Oh, bliss.
And there were other people who wanted to direct for the stage, and this gave them the opportunity to do that. And each holidays we would put on a show for the kids, you know, during the holidays. And so it just grew from the group. Ron Haddrick was one of these people, very, very well-known actor, as I'm sure you know, who really
wanted to bring theatre to children, but you also wanted to get children doing theatre themselves.
But in the beginning, it changed, you see, over the years. But in the beginning, we weren't doing workshops for children. We were just doing productions for children. And later, of course, is one of the reasons the ATYP has lasted for 50 years. It sensibly started to include young people, to give workshops for them, which Rosie will talk about. And so it changed.
Thinking about your own childhood, though, where did your love of theatre come from?
Oh, it was born in me. My father was a frustrated actor.
Many are.
Well, he was frustrated because he was short like me, and he decided that he would probably spend the rest of his days saying "the carriage awaits," and that was all, you know, that was the only part he'd get. He went on, of course, to be the chairman and managing director of Slazenger's when it was the biggest sporting goods company in the Southern Hemisphere, and so our lives were full of tennis players, golf champions, and it somehow, though, the gene that he had, it ended up in me.
As it does.
But it completely missed my brother and sister, have had nothing to do with the stage. But I never wanted to be anything else but a performer.
But what hooked you into performance initially?
Well, I started to perform at school. And then as soon as I'd finished school, my mother said, you know, you must go to university. No time for university, I said. I'm going to drama school. And in those days, you would go to England, and because there was limited opportunities here, so you'd set off, and I ended up in Weekly Rep in Newcastle on Tyne, of all places, you know.
amazing.
Rosie, 1967 was when the Australian Theatre for Young People started putting on workshops for kids themselves, so getting them on the stage. Each year thousands go through the program, is that right?
Yeah, in one holiday period there could be 500 kids just doing, that's in one summer holiday.
It's incredible. But what about yourself? You were 10.
Yeah, it was the 80s. And my experience of A2IP was more like a kind of like the most exciting place on earth to go on a Saturday morning. And, you know, at that time it was a lot smaller. It was where the library is in Ultimo now, at the Esme Hackett Hall.
In Sydney.
Yeah. And, you know, there was guys out the back making sandwiches in their Speedos and they'd come around and sell them to you at lunchtime if you were in rehearsal. And I thought it was like, you know, the most exciting. I got to hang out with older kids and then meet all these other kids. And it was just like the most blissful place. My mum said I used to count the days off on the calendar till Saturday.
What did you do on those Saturdays? What sorts of courses were you doing then?
It was all kind of, I don't know what they call it now, like creative drama. So back then it was a lot of improvisation. You know, my teachers, because it was the 80s, were very theatre sports orientated, which sometimes is a bit of a dirty word now. But at that time, it was very much about improvisation and, you know, storytelling and a lot of, like, theatre games, I guess they were. But it was just working in small groups on making up, just like everyone does at home, making up plays and showing them to other people.
What's this about a goose?
Oh, that was a school play. Because somebody asked me what was my first acting experience, because I didn't have any kind of passion at that stage. But I was 5 then, I think, when I did that show. Yeah.
you played a goose, I think.
I think, yeah, it was in like a tale about the poppy seed cakes or something. But I think the teacher tried to get me to have the lead role of the aunt, but I was terrible. I was all very, really, really wooden. And so I ended up playing the goose, which was amazingly fun.
What did theatre, and I guess what connected you with it for so long? What do you think theatre brought you as a young person?
Confidence. It was the feeling that that kind of escape into your imagination and that, you know, other world that existed. I just was a junkie for it. And as I got older as well, it became much more about unlocking the texts. And, you know, I spent all my money buying plays and doing that kind of stuff. And that's still with me now. I still love going into rehearsal room or, you know, and production week now as more of a producer is the most exciting time when, you know, everything, the lights being rigged and stuff's happening. I still get that same exhilaration I had as like a 10-year-old.
I can see it in your eyes. Yeah. But I have to ask, did all those flights of fancy that you were doing on and fantasy on a Saturday make it hard to kind of come back to anchor yourself back in school during the week?
I think it was hard for the kids at school. I became very bossy. I held rehearsals at lunchtime. I was staging shows. I was on ski holidays, like when we were having the hot chocolates, riding on the paper bags, my latest, you know, piece that I had to get back to school and get everybody rehearsing.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that Rosie mentions that? Because I think back now too, I used to hold concerts in, I had a playhouse, a Wendy house, and I used to get all the local kids in and force them to learn lines. And and I can remember once there was a wonderful magician called the Great Levant, and he was a friend of my father's, and he came after his Saturday matinee and before the evening show. And I can remember putting on a performance for him. And when I think about it, you know, it's exactly the same as Rosie said. You know, I was probably 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever age I was. But if you have that germ or gene or whatever you like to call it in you, it shows itself at quite a young age.
It does, doesn't it? I was endlessly putting on puppet shows at home. Wendy, theatre has never been particularly financial without good sponsors. How did you manage to get the Australian Theatre for Young People off the ground financially?
Well, we would take the box office and we held fundraising activities, and I my favourite fundraiser, which is one that I organised, I was living at that time in Paddington, which was before it became posh, and I had a 12-foot-wide little tenement house, terrace house, and I thought it would be a wonderful idea to have an opening of various houses in the Paddington area and invite people for 10 shillings to come and look at these houses. And Gordon Chater lived next door to me, so we opened his house, and we opened a freestanding one, and we opened one that hadn't been renovated, and an art gallery and a restaurant. And there was a sort of circuit of these places. And, of course, on the day, we didn't know how many people would turn up. There were queues outside these places down the street, and people had come from Vaucluse and Double Bay in their chauffeur-driven limousines to see how the other half lived in Paddington.
Classic.
It was a great success. And I always remember that because I had an actor or an actress in every room, in every house, you know, to make sure that things didn't disappear. But it was quite an effort. But I can't remember how much we raised, but I still have the card.
I'm trying to work out whether they'd do that fundraising today, that sort of fundraising today.
No, I don't think they would. But
creative.
It was long before the historic homes opened up places, but I still have the card in my desk drawer, which lists the houses, and there's the entrance 10 shillings.
What was key? What are some of the key productions you remember? Because as you mentioned, one of the ideas was to bring Australian theatre to young people.
Well, we had several playwrights as part of the group. And I can remember we did a version of Dick Whittington. I remember that because I played the cat. But it was an Australian version of Dick Whittington, not like the pantomimes that were, you know, that are so popular in England. And it was the beginnings of the old Tote Theatre. And it was, you know, I can remember about that time that I was worked in the first production of David Williamson's Don's Party. Mm. And I worked with Tom Keneally in the first play that he ever wrote. And it was just the beginnings of telling our stories.
Mm. And beautiful beginnings they were. Mm. Rosie Fisher, this wasn't just about building superstars, was it? Like some of the famous actors that have gone through the Australian Theatre for Young People. But what sorts of, I mean, this was a very inclusive, it's a very inclusive theatre. What sorts of transformations have you witnessed over the years in young people who enrolled?
Well, I think parents, maybe rightfully so, very often send very shy children to ATYP, and you think, gosh, what a cruel thing to do to
quaking
put them
in
a room
boots.
For a week in a holiday workshop with 20 other children. But as a tutor, there were a lot of incredible experiences of, like, really people who, you know, were so shy and couldn't talk, and then you'd get Christmas cards from their parents saying they're on the debating team and, you know, they're so happy and, you know, those kind of amazing life-changing experiences that I think the nature of kind of theatre and performance that you kind of end up doing it despite yourself or are somehow tricked into, you know, joining in and then finding a kind of your own voice.
But I'm wondering with all the, well, a kind of another kind of theatre that's happening on Facebook, on Twitter, on email, mobile phones and texting, and do you think theatre still has the capacity to capture the hearts of young people?
Yeah, because you're in a room with other beating hearts and breath and bodies and it's all happening. I think Belvoir's recent production of Peter Pan is a really great example of this. On opening night, I was lucky enough to be there and there was quite a lot of children in the room. And it was so exciting, you know, like them anticipating the moments. And, you know, one little boy in front of me was like, when they were going to save Wendy, he was turned to his father and was like, well, how's that going to work? And, you know, there was just this kind of, you know, there's
real engagement.
There's nothing, you know, there's nothing like that. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Wendy? How do you see the role of theatre in young people's lives now?
Well, when I stopped being, after 30, I was an actress for 30 years and I suddenly decided to become a producer. And so for the last 30 years, I worked for 10 years with the Australian Elizabethan Theatre Trust, and then I set up Performing Lines, a company which does all new work, new Australian work, and it can be circus or it can be Aboriginal or performance art, and what you see is the new styles, the new ways of attracting audiences. And I found that very, very satisfying. Not just the square box, the proscenium arch, the sitting in the velvet seats, but being part of a performance, walking around a performance, being on the stage with the performers, or watching circus and seeing how clever the Australians are at acrobatics and wonderful at skills.
And also involving us as an audience in their theatrics has just become really powerful.
That's what I'm trying to get to, that the closeness between the audience and the performer, the joining together, not sitting back in your best clothes and, listening to opera, say.
Some of the purists might say, but we've lost the good old days.
Well, they might. They might. They can.
Rosie, an exciting future for the theatre, do you think?
Yeah, but also I think A2OP is very much as well about the experience of the participants. So, like you were kind of talking about before, it's not necessarily that they're going to be working in the performing arts at all, but it's about what it can offer you at that time in your life.
Because that time of the in your life is often a wobbly old time,
isn't
it? There's
many teenagers there, and it's that they do a lot of touring, a lot of regional work, and I think that's kind of, if you talk to any A2IP participants, even like Rose is really one of my best friends, and you just, she'll still talk about it was the greatest day going there on a Friday after school, I think it's more about, people will always talk about finding your people and that kind of stuff, but it's really about, having that time away from your phone and off Facebook for an hour or something.
Just an hour, folks, just an hour. Happy birthday. Enjoy the celebrations this year and congratulations. Thank you so much for joining us on Life Matters this morning.
Thank you.
Wendy Blacklock.
Thank you.
Actor, founding member of Australian Theatre for Young People, and Rosie Fisher, Performance Program Coordinator, now at Carriage Works. Coming up next on Life Matters, well, it's Valentine's Day, and we're looking at making couples happy. This is a new ABC One series where couples who are having real troubles in their relationship have put themselves on national television to try and work it out. And there's a bit of science involved in this too. We're going to be talking to one of those couples. And also our delusional beliefs. What's at the heart of them? That's coming up next. Now the news on RN.